The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 494 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep those five-star reviews coming there. We always appreciate that. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. Love to get your feedback, your comments, whether you agree, disagree. Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter. At the Sports RPT. Blowouts and brawls. That sums up week 9 in the National Football League. I understand football is a violent sport, especially at this level, but what was up with all the fights on Sunday? And can somebody please explain to me the logic of punching someone in the head who's wearing a helmet? I mean, seriously, are you trying to break your own hand? What is going on with that? I mean, that's about all you're going to accomplish. The guy has a helmet on. Why are you punching it? It's about as intelligent as these players that are bringing kickoffs out of the end zone that go 5 yards deep. Good grief. If I see that one more time, and it happens every single Sunday in the NFL, they're always stopped around the 15-yard line. Plus, 99% of the time, there's a penalty, and that pushes it back even more. So you kill the drive because you're a bonehead and feel like you have to get on SportsCenter or all the highlight shows and bring the ball out from 5 yards deep in the end zone. Which is dumber? I like to throw out questions. This is our first one of the podcast today. Which is dumber, punching someone who's wearing a helmet or bringing a kickoff out of the end zone when it's 5 yards deep? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. An early edition of Which is Dumber. That would be an automatic fine if I was a head coach. It's one of my biggest pet peeves, no doubt. I want to talk about the best team in the league coming up. And if any media bobbleheads out there don't have Philadelphia number one in their power rankings, you should never read their stuff again. You're just wasting your time. In college football, we had, count them, 7 matchups of ranked teams. Man, awesome Saturday. Oklahoma scored 2 more touchdowns just since I started this show. Baker Mayfield had a big weekend as far as the Heisman Trophy race goes. JT Barrett, brutal at Iowa. Saquon Barkley, another quiet game running the football. Penn State fell to Sparty. And the U remains unbeaten. Same for Wisconsin, although I don't put those teams in the same category as an Alabama or a Georgia. But they are undefeated. And we have some huge games coming up this weekend as well. I'll tell you about that in a second. You know who is wowing people? Wisconsin may not wow you. I am at work, though. My coworkers are loving this guy right now. Why? Well, remember last week on the show, I was telling you about Halloween and how I stocked up on top shelf candy, got an extra bag or two just because I did not want to run out. Because when you run out, the kids switch up the bag that they use to hold the candy, and they go with the bag that they use to hold the eggs, and then they just start bombarding your house. So I made sure I had enough candy. Turns out I had way too much. So now I want to get it out of the house, because if it stays in the house, I'm going to eat it. So I'm taking it to work, and now I have a lot more friends. Let's just say that. And at a radio station, when you bring in food, it typically will last under 45 seconds, usually in the 30 to 45 second range, and then it's all gone. But They're loving the candy right now. Let's get going here on episode 494 of the Sports Report. A lot to cover. I want to start out with the best team in the National Football League. There is no debate. There is no argument. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. They blew out the Broncos 51-23 in South Philly on Sunday. And keep in mind, this was a Denver defense that came in with the number one ranking as far as total yards allowed per game. And they gave up 50 to the Eagles. 419 yards to 226. Rushing yards, listen to this, 197-35. And Doug Peterson used to be a head coach who didn't want to run the football. Philadelphia averaged 5.3 a carry. Carson Wentz, 4 touchdown passes. 2 of them went to Alshon Jeffrey, who's coming on of late. He had 6 catches for a game-high 84 yards. Wentz now leads the NFL with 23 touchdown passes. Here's the scary thing. He's only in his second year. He's got to be your MVP right now. As much respect as I have for Tom Brady and all the championships, right now, Carson Wentz is your MVP. Eagles are 8-1. They've won 7 straight. Heck, you get an undrafted running back out of Wisconsin. Real good college player, but he did not get drafted, Corey Clement, and he has 3 touchdowns. He ran for 2. He caught another. The recently acquired Jay Ajayi from the Dolphins, he had a touchdown run in his Eagles debut. 8 carries, 77 yards. Now, I think he'll get more carries as this season goes on. But the birds are rolling, and Vegas has noticed. The Eagles are now 4-1 to win the Super Bowl. 4-1. Those are the odds at the Westgate Superbook. Only the Patriots have better odds. They are 7-2. Man, oh man. And now the Eagles have a bye, so they will be well rested for Sunday night, November 19th. Circle this one, Philadelphia at Dallas. What a rivalry. 2 fan bases that hate each other. Not dislike, I mean hate each other. And Zach Ertz did not even play in this game due to a hamstring injury. I think he'll be back for the Dallas game after the bye. But he's been one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. He doesn't even play, and they score 51 points on Denver. As for the Broncos, 3-5, 4 straight losses. We had an ostrich sighting. Brock Osweiler back under center. He threw 2 interceptions, could have had at least 2 more. 19-38, just over 200 yards. And throw in 14 penalties for 105 yards. Just a nightmare game for the Denver Broncos. And you wonder where they are at. You can't blame the offense for this one. Not when you give up more than 400 yards and 51 points. Gotta look at Von Miller and company on that defense, too. Just getting warmed up here on episode 494 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in each and every week. Paul Roberts with you on iTunes and Grizzly Productions. TV. The show is brought to you by iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. Really cool stuff. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that is important to all of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs, which promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He's the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So enter the code SPORTS for a 25% discount off of your purchase when you go to iHomeAudio.com. Be sure to enter that code SPORTS and you get 25% off. How awesome is that? Look at the new line of Zenergy products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. It's all at iHomeAudio.com. Use the code SPORTS for 25% off. Moving on with our NFL segment, Cowboys 5-3 after beating the Chiefs 28-17. Did you see the play at the end of the first half? Wow. Instead of launching your traditional Hail Mary, Alex Smith threw to Tyreek Hill over the middle. And if you're the Cowboys, you're thinking, all right, we'll let him get a few yards. We'll just come up, make the tackle, and the half is over. That's that. Hill had his tight ends out in front and a wide receiver or two, and they're blocking. He weaves his way all the way into the end zone. 56-yard touchdown at the buzzer. This was unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. Teams do this a lot where they'll throw it underneath at the end of the half and just try and pick up some yards, but you don't ever see it go for a touchdown. This one did. Amazing. No time left on the clock. And then KC took the lead on a short touchdown pass to tight end Travis Kelce in the third quarter. So they had all the momentum. Kelce and company unveiled the potato sack race celebration. Did you see that? Man, it was pretty good. I will give them points for originality. That is for sure. The potato sack race. Leave it to Kelce. He's a different type of dude. Dallas went from up 14-3 to down 17-14. But I have to give Dak Prescott and the Cowboys credit because they put together two long touchdown drives. One was 12 plays, 75 yards. The other was 13 for 87. And they end up winning by double digits. Dak had three combined touchdowns. Dallas 4 for 4 in the red zone, no turnovers. I mean, that's how you win in the NFL. Take care of the football, don't turn it over. And when you're inside the 20, you got to get 7, not 3. I can't believe some people are actually talking about benching Smith for the rookie, Patrick Mahomes. Really? I mean, there are a lot of prisoners of the moment out there. And this is another shining example. Smith had a quarterback rating in this game over 100. For the season, 18 touchdowns, one interception. One. He's completing 70% of his passes, and people are talking about benching this guy for a rookie? That is just stupid. It's like punching someone who's wearing a helmet or bringing the football out of the end zone when it's 5 yards deep. I don't want to get started on that again. I mean, how about looking at the Kansas City offensive line in the run game that averaged 3.5 yards a carry? Or the defense that got 0 stops in the red zone? Kansas City 6-3, and you have media bobbleheads panicking out there calling for quarterback change? Come on. And it's not like they lost to Cleveland. They lost on the road to Dallas, who's 5-3. We talked about how good the Eagles look. The Saints are on fire, too. 6 wins in a row after an 0-2 start. They blew out Tampa Bay 30-10. Drew Brees, 22-27, 263, 2 touchdowns, almost perfect. Alvin Kamara showed his versatility at running back, couple of touchdowns, 172 combined yards. Jameis Winston left the game after getting hit and coming down on his shoulder in the first half. However, that did not stop Winston from instigating a fight. And Winston, by the way, is going to be shut down for 2 weeks to rest his shoulder. But he started poking rookie corner Marshawn Lattimore, who's a good player. He's poking him in the back of his helmet on the sideline. Lattimore then pushes Winston, and Mike Evans comes out of nowhere and drills Lattimore from behind. Total cheap shot. He should have been ejected. The Bucs are a mess. They are 2-6. Meanwhile, New Orleans has a half-game lead on Carolina. But I don't know how Evans was allowed to stay in that football game. I mean, total blindside cheap shot on Lattimore. And, you know, it's because they're getting killed. Terrible season. They're out of the game. But if you're the officials, you can't allow that. I mean, that's more than just a penalty. He has got to be thrown out of that game. Let's get to the Panthers. They knock off the Falcons in Charlotte 20-17. Julio Jones, one of the best receivers in football. He dropped a wide open touchdown pass with 8 minutes left on fourth down. 10-point game, should have been a field goal game, and he drops it. Just nuts. I mean, you don't expect that from any NFL receiver, let alone Julio Jones. Atlanta did score with 3.5 minutes remaining to get within a field goal, and they got the ball back with 2 minutes to go, but Matt Ryan tossed 3 straight incompletions to end their chances. Falcons fall to 4-4. They blew a 10-0 lead early on. Carolina got things going late in the first half, 2 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes. Panthers outrushed the Falcons 201-53. Cam Newton passed for 137, ran for 86 with a touchdown. He was taking some heat on social media early on when it was 10-0, but they come back and a nice W for Carolina. Washington was also impressive. The Redskins have been decimated by injuries. They were missing 6 starters, 3 offensive linemen, 2 of them Pro Bowl players. They're on the road, one of the most hostile environments in the NFL, and Kirk Cousins, who took a beating in this game, he was sacked 6 times. He made 2 clutch throws late in this game for a 17-14 upset of the Seahawks. Seattle was down 10-2 going to the fourth quarter. And then Russell Wilson works some fourth quarter magic. We've seen this act from him before. He throws 2 touchdown passes, the second with 1.5 minutes to play. That was a 30-yarder to Doug Baldwin. And now Seattle is up 4 points. But the Legion of Doom, or should I call it the Legion of Gloom, could not hold on. Washington went 70 yards in 35 seconds for a touchdown. Seattle was playing bump and run coverage on the outside, which I don't know why you don't just play zone there. And they got beat twice for huge gains, including a 38-yarder to Josh Doctson. He made a great diving catch. And then Fat Rob Kelly took it in from 1 yard out. The Seahawks fans were stunned. Talk about a quick turn of events. And that team committed 16 penalties. They always seem to have a lot of penalties. Blair Walsh, 3 field goals he missed. Wilson had 2 interceptions. Can't forget that. And Seattle's 4-game winning streak comes to an end. The Seahawks now 5-3. Washington hanging around at the 500 mark, but considering all the injuries, going out there to play, the crowd noise, being down with 1.5 minutes to go, man, that was incredible. The Rams have a 1-game lead at 6-2 over Seattle. Best start since 2001 for the Rams. They embarrassed the Giants 51-17. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you get embarrassed. And the Giants were taken out beyond the woodshed in this one. Jared Goff, 311 yards, 4 touchdowns. Both of those are career highs. LA with 473 yards. Goff threw a screen pass to Robert Woods on 3rd and 33. Let me repeat that. 3rd and 33. It went for a 52-yard touchdown. Eli Apple's just backtracking, just didn't want to come up and make a tackle. I mean, how the hell does that happen? 3rd and 33, you throw a screen for a touchdown? Big Blue, 1-7. Jeez. Lots of people wondering what got into A.J. Green. He is normally a pretty quiet guy. Late in the first half, Jalen Ramsey, who's known for doing a lot of trash talking, he pushes Green. Well, then Green then just goes crazy. He puts Ramsey in a rear chokehold, Conor McGregor style. I'm not a big MMA fan, but looked like the rear chokehold there. And he wasn't done. He starts firing punches and hitting Ramsey in the helmet. Now, I don't get that strategy at all. We've discussed it. Anywho, both these guys ejected. The Jacksonville coaches were furious. They didn't think Ramsey should have been tossed. The referee, Brad Allen, said both players were warned prior to the fight, and Ramsey was the instigator, so that's why he was ejected. The Jags were already without Leonard Fournette, their star running back, because he violated a team rule, and they still won 23-7. So they are 5-3. The Bungles managed a whopping 150 yards and only 8 first downs. They are now 3-5. You hear me say a lot on the show that if you don't have a quarterback, you don't win in the National Football League. It was a real shame what happened to Deshaun Watson, the rookie out of Clemson. Tears his ACL at practice. This guy was having one heck of a season, proving a lot of his doubters wrong. Take him away, and the Texans score 14 points against a terrible Colts defense. Indy won 20-14. Tom Savage finished 19 of 44, 219 yards, one touchdown, just not getting it done. The Colts have allowed the most points in the league, yet Houston only got 14. It's about the quarterback. Just look at what's going on in Philadelphia now with Carson Wentz. Jacoby Brissett threw for just over 300 yards, two touchdowns, both of them to T.Y. Hilton. If you have him on your fantasy team, you are smiling right now from ear to ear. Hilton, 5 catches, 175 yards. Whew. Houston's now 2 games behind Jacksonville and Tennessee. Titans beat the visiting Ravens 23-20. Baltimore got a backdoor touchdown with 46 seconds left. The onside kick did not even go 10 yards, and that was that. Tennessee really wasn't impressive on offense, only 250 total yards, just 71 on the ground, and that is their MO, running the football. In another ho-hum game, Oakland got a W at Miami Sunday night, 27-24. For some reason, Tony Dungy said at halftime this game had a playoff atmosphere. What? I mean, I respect Tony Dungy a lot. I don't know what game he was watching, but it wasn't the Raiders and Dolphins. The Dolphins also got a backdoor touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Not that I'm bitter or upset at all. Oh, no, not at all. But this was hard to watch. Players are slipping all over that field. Miami plays its college games down there, so the field is not in good shape. 21 accepted penalties. 212 penalty yards between these two teams. I mean, some absolute brain cramp mistakes in this one. Just dumb penalties, missed opportunities left and right for Miami. Jay Cutler returned from the crack ribs. He was just dinking and dunking his way down the field. 34 of 42 sounds terrific, but if you watch the game like I did, it was a lot of short passes. Ends up with 311 yards, 3 touchdowns. Derek Carr also threw for 300. He found his tight end, Jared Cook, over and over and over again. Kiko Alonso could not cover him. 8 catches, 126 yards for Cook. Johnny Holton, the speedster, caught a 44-yard bomb for a touchdown. Marshawn Lynch was back from his suspension. He rumbled 22 yards for a score, one of 2 TDs for beast mode. And Oakland wins it, certainly not pretty. The Raiders 4-5, the Dolphins 4-4. This was not must-see TV. Same could be said for Cardinals 49ers. Arizona won 20-10 to get back to the 500 mark. Adrian Peterson with a career-high 37 carries. He said he wasn't getting the ball enough with the Saints. How about 37 touches, 159 yards for AP? There was another fight in this game. 3 players ejected. This one broke out after C.J. Beathard got hit late on a scramble. Beathard took a lot of punishment in this game, a rookie out of Iowa. San Francisco 0-9. And that's week 9 in the National Football League. Do you agree with me that the Eagles are the best team and Carson Wentz is your MVP? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I think he can make a pretty strong case for both of those. Wentz, MVP, Eagles, have to be the best team. I mean, they've only lost one game. That was on the road against the Chiefs. That was early on. They've now won seven straight. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Appreciate the new followers there. This is episode 494 of the Sports Report Podcast. Paul Roberts with you every Monday on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, and in the podcast section of iTunes. On to college football, too many big games going on at once Saturday afternoon. It was extremely frustrating. I like to focus on one or two games, use that last button on the remote control. There's like a half dozen games going on. I know the AP poll doesn't really matter now, but Notre Dame, Clemson, and Oklahoma are 3 through 5 this week in the AP. They moved up a few spots. Ohio State fell from number 3 to number 11 in the AP rankings, and that's what happens when you get smoked at Iowa, 55-24, double nickels for the Hawkeyes. And Ohio State was a 3-touchdown favorite in this game. Most points they have ever allowed under Urban Meyer, 55. Kinnick Stadium is a house of horrors for top-ranked teams. Hawkeyes have won 4 of their last 5 home games versus top-5 opponents. 4 of the last 5. Wow. Nate Stanley looked like Joe Montana. He had 5 touchdown passes. Josh Jackson was brilliant, came up with 3 interceptions of JT Barrett. Barrett wound up with a career-high 4 picks, so his Heisman hopes take a serious hit 1 week after that great second-half comeback against Penn State. He opened the game with a pick 6. That is a bad omen right there. Ohio State gets its 2nd loss, and that is big trouble. Penn State also gets its 2nd loss. Nittany Lions came up short, 27-24 at Michigan State on a last-second 34-yard field goal. Saquon Barkley limited to 63 yards on 14 carries. Here's the problem. Barkley's not the issue. It's this offensive line. I mean, Penn State's offensive line is really, really struggling. Against physical teams, they have a tough time. And you saw it against Ohio State. They could do nothing, all the negative plays. And Barkley now, as far as that Heisman goes, I would not consider him the favorite right now. More on that in a second. And the Penn State secondary got torched again. Sophomore Brian Lewerke was looking like Carson Wentz. 400 yards, 2 touchdowns. This was on a wet day. There was also a 3.5-hour delay due to lightning. The top 4 teams in the Big Ten East, including Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan, the top 4 in that division all have 2 losses now. And then you look over at the West Division, and there's Wisconsin at 9-0. The Badgers started slow, ended up beating Indiana 45-21. This was 24-17 in the 4th quarter. Wisconsin then scored 3 touchdowns on short fields to blow it open. Jonathan Taylor ran for 183 and a score. The freshman is already over 1,300 yards. He's got 12 touchdowns, and Taylor is averaging 7 yards a carry. Put up those numbers on an undefeated team. I think Taylor deserves a little Heisman love here, but the front runner now has to be Baker Mayfield after what he did against Okie State. A school record 598 passing yards and 5 touchdowns, plus a rushing touchdown in a wild, wacky 62-52 victory over Oklahoma State. I hope you had the over, my friends, and this is why they call it Bedlam. Listen to some of these numbers. 62 combined first downs. 1,446 total yards. 785 yards for the Sooners. And oh yeah, 114 points. You know what's going through my mind as I'm watching this? If you're a defensive coach on one of these 2 teams, I mean, how do you even go into the film room the next day? I mean, how do you even look at that mess? I mean, these guys must have ulcers. They have to have high blood pressure. Oh, man. I'm 62-52. I mean, you can't even say, well, we did that right. Oklahoma and TCU, 8-1. Everyone else in the Big 12 has at least 2 losses. TCU took care of Texas 24-7. Now the Horned Frogs go to Oklahoma this Saturday night. That is another elimination game. That should be a beauty. TCU at Oklahoma. And staying in the Big 12 for a second, Iowa State got tripped up at Morgantown 20-16 by the Mountaineers. Let's go Mountaineers. Let's go drink some beers. They are both 6-3. Cyclones still having a tremendous season. I said last week on the podcast, I thought they were the best story in college football. And considering where they were a year ago, I mean, they were a doormat. So obviously you don't like this loss, but that's still a great story. To the SEC, Alabama beat LSU 24-10 in prime time. The Tide has won 7 straight in this matchup. It was a slugfest. 2 Alabama linebackers were injured. Hamilton is out for the season, and he was a starter. Bama led 14-0, 21-3. They were 3 touchdown favored here, but struggled to move the ball. LSU actually had more yards, not by a lot, but LSU did have more yards. Not always pretty, but Alabama and Georgia stayed perfect at 9-0. The Dogs beat South Carolina 24-10. Georgia completely controlled the clock, 38.5 minutes to 21.5 minutes time of possession. Bulldogs outrushed the Gamecocks 242-43. Hello. I mean, that combination of Chubb and Michelle in the backfield, those two are dynamic at running back. They had 183 combined rushing yards in this one. Georgia has to go to Auburn this Saturday. Tricky spot for the Dogs. The Tigers are 7-2. Look out for that one. So you got TCU at Oklahoma, Georgia at Auburn. Not done yet. Notre Dame did give up a couple late touchdowns to Wake Forest. The Irish win 48-37. They're 8-1. Brandon Wimbush threw for a career-high 280 yards. He ran for 2 touchdowns. We all know he can run. Some have questioned whether or not he can throw the football. Now we get Notre Dame at Miami this Saturday night. The Canes pulled away from Virginia Tech 28-10. I thought this would be a closer game. Vegas actually got this wrong. The Hokies were favored in the opening line, and they lose it by 18. Now, by kickoff, Miami was favored again, but not by a lot. Malik Rozier, 2 touchdown passes. He ran for 3rd. The U piled up 429 yards against one of the best defenses in the nation. Miami averaged 6.3 a carry. Not a lot of teams do that against Virginia Tech. It was a sloppy game. Turnover palooza, 7 combined, 4 of them by the Hokies. Miami 8-0. A-Rod and J-Lo were in the house. And speaking of celebrities, did you hear about Sean Diddy Combs? Guy changed his name to Love or Brother Love. Brother Love is acceptable. What? How do you change your name to Love or Brother Love? I'll just stick to sports. You guys can worry about that. My brother had great seats for Clemson NC State. He was visiting one of our high school buddies down in Raleigh. I was jealous, I must admit. Sophomore, and he got to see a good game. Kayvon Wallace, only a sophomore, came up large late in this one. Broke up a pass near the goal line with a big hit. Then he picks off Ryan Finley to ice it. In between that, though, there was a crushing penalty on the Wolfpack. Illegal formation. And that wiped out a completion that would have made it 1st and goal for NC State. Big, big, big penalty. Finley threw for 338 yards, 3 touchdowns. Not enough, though. Tavian Feaster broke off an 89-yard touchdown run end of 3rd quarter. Put Clemson up 10. Big momentum swing right there. And the Tigers got out of there at 8-1. They won it 38-31, a hard-fought victory. Finally, let's go to the West Coast. USC tops Arizona 49-35, another top 25 battle. Ronald Jones ran for 194 yards, 3 scores, scored twice in the final 6 minutes. This game was bonkers. All right, it was 28-6. in favor of USC. And you think it's over. Arizona comes back. The Cats tied it. It was 35 all. And then they gave up those scores to Ronald Jones. And USC does win 49-35. I don't think that the top four will change in the playoff rankings this week. Georgia was number one last week when they came out for the first time. Georgia was one, Alabama two, Notre Dame three, Clemson number four. All four of those teams won. So I don't think anything will change now. Oklahoma did get a good win against Oklahoma State. TCU will be climbing up. Penn State, Ohio State, they're going to drop down. But I don't think the top four will change. Now, people go nuts. And it's early to go crazy about these rankings. We still have a lot of big, big games coming up. Like I said, you got TCU, Oklahoma, elimination game Saturday night. You got Notre Dame at Miami. I mean, that would be a second loss for Notre Dame. And I think if Miami loses, they're pretty much out of it too. Because look where they were ranked. Wisconsin and Miami did not get respect from the playoff committee. And then you have Georgia at Auburn. So we have a lot to go, plus the conference championship game. So don't go crazy here. Don't get all worked up. This is only going to be week two of the rankings. It's fun to talk about, but a lot of big games on the way. If you want to weigh in on college football, and this was a busy, busy weekend, you can do it on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Always looking for new followers there and looking for new people to listen to the podcast. Love to see new 5-star reviews in the podcast section of iTunes. Just search for The Sports Report with Paul Roberts and the podcast will come up there. If you know some friends, family members, coworkers, if they're into sports, tell them to give us a shot. 30 to 40 minutes. Fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. Have a great week, everybody. This has been episode number 494. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.